Well, kingdom greetings. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you, Lord, as I open the Bible, your word. Lord, I pray that you would give me grace that I would not say anything that I must not say. I count on you, Lord. I pray that you'd give me wisdom, even as I prepare. But I totally trust in you to teach us. As I share your word this morning, Father, I need you. I need you, Lord. Please give me your wisdom to just stay true to the rhema of your word. And I pray for your sons and your daughters here as they listen. They would not be just listeners, but they would be doers. They would receive these words, your revelation, And they would act on it. They would apply it. And Holy Spirit, you are good at that. You're the spirit of revelation, so I pray that you would give us revelation. I give you this next moment. Just use it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. So also, you know, Jacob's family, I know, a lot of times we talk about people who serve overseas, you know, like Sam, you've been gone for years before you retire. I mean, you're still working, but you know, the people, their family, the people that stay behind, you know, the weight they carry, you know, like right now, Jonathan was gone for a while. Now Jacob's gone for a while. His kids, his wife, you know, that's a lot. You know, they're missing them. So we bless you guys. We pray that the Lord would comfort you. We pray that your mom, you would respect your mom. We ask that you would respect her authority. But at the same time, you know, be good. Serve the Lord. You know, your dad is doing a great thing. Because, you know, we're talking about veterans. You wives who support your husbands. You husband who supports your wife. Who's in the military, that's like, we don't talk about those things, right? We don't talk about the left behinders. But the left behinders, they carry it, you know? So thank you guys. May the Lord carry you through this season. So this past couple weeks, I've been studying on God's wrath. And the more you study wrath, you know, wrath could be anger. But I want to set up the stage for you, because a lot of times that's one sermon, that's one message we don't talk in the church. God can get angry, and believe me, none of us wants to encounter God's wrath. We don't. That's why right now Jesus is giving us grace. Jesus is giving grace to everybody. And you and I, we have a great opportunity to accept God's grace right now. Once death comes, it's too late. Tell your neighbor, it's too late if death comes. Come on, help me out. I like Vic. I'm going to take this from Vic. Vic's like, so make sure your neighbor is not falling asleep. I like that. But last week, what did I talk about? In a couple of seconds, what did I talk about last week? What was one of my main thing I talked about? Huh? The veil. I talked about the veil, right? Anything else? What else did I talk about last week? Worship, right? I talk about the believer who turns to the Lord has the freedom in the spirit, you know, because according to 2 Corinthians, we've received something that Moses never had, even though Moses was in the presence of God. Spent time with God. Every time he would spend time with God, God's glory would reflect on his face. But when he would remove himself from God's presence, the glory would fade. But the Bible says we are not like that. We're not like Moses. When we turn to the Lord, the veil is gone. All right, you guys remember that veil I put on? All right, you remember that? So, of course, I talk about music. I said music is seeing and savoring the worthiness of God and responding as he deserves, meaning in everything. So living a life of worship is you respond to God's worthiness in everything you do. It's not just singing. That's why if you're living a life of worship, then when you sing holy, holy, then your singing can be acceptable to God. Your hand lifting, raising can be acceptable to God. And then I also want to remind you of this. Worship will only be as genuinely high as your knowledge of God is deep. Okay? The more you know God, who God is, the better, the more genuine your worship will be. You know? So that's why I believe for us to understand God's nature, for us to understand God's love and His holiness, we must have a biblical understanding of His wrath. And that's not something anybody wants to hear. But listen to what it says in the Bible. If you open, we might have it on the screen. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 14. Let's read it together. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgive all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction." Amen? Can I have an amen right now? Right there? Wow. "Who crowns you with loving kindness, and who satisfies your mouth with a tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious." Now, remember those two words. Because as we talk about God's wrath, I want you to keep the perspective of God is still merciful. You see, right now, God is not punishing anybody. God is the only God or math teacher who gives you a test. For example, let's say the math teacher is giving you a test. It's like, 1 plus 1? What is 1 plus 1? I mean, I assume all of you here, you should know the result. But this is the test. What is 1 plus 1? Choose the right answer. They give you 2, 5, 7. And then God is the only teacher who tell you 1 plus 1 is 2. The right answer is 2, okay? But some of us, we're so stubborn. We just want to have our own ways. We're like, well, you know what? Why should I trust Him? He knows. The teacher knows better. God is the only God who gives us the way to live. It's like I said before you today, what? Curses and blessing. Those are the things you must do to be blessed. Those are the things you must do to be cursed. And you know what we do? It's like, screw this. I just want to do this. I want to live myself. I want to live for myself. So those two words, God is merciful and gracious. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Even as we talk about God's wrath, He is slow. God is not like us. He is so slow to get angry. And He is abounding in mercy. Mercy, you know what mercy is? You all know it. It's unmerited grace. When you get grace, you know, unforgiveness that you didn't merit. All right? Verse 9. "He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high from above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those," help me out, "who fear Him." Not to everyone. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to love what the Lord love is to hate what the love hates. So He's, go back to the previous verse, verse 11. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards," not everyone, "only to those who fear Him." That's why if you're not walking in the fear of the Lord, you might not experience His grace. His grace is for everyone, but you must answer. And how do you answer to His grace? By repenting, by living in the fear of God. All right, let's keep going. All right, so it says, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west," that's how far, "He has removed our transgression from us." Amen? wow, listen to this. As for you know how far the east is from the west? It's very far. It's really, really far, guys. And think, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. As far as that distance is, that's how far the Lord, as we move, our trespasses against us. What a good news, amen? But this good news comes with a condition. And most of the time we forget about that condition. Remember, every promise of God in the Bible comes with a condition. For example, you get to benefit this verse if you forgive those who trespass against you. So, if I hold a grudge, if I'm holding people in my heart, I don't want to forgive, what's going to happen? You know, go back to that sermon Robert preached a couple weeks ago. God is not going to forgive you of your sin. All right, let's go back. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those, once again, this is the word, who fears him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Now, if you go to Psalm 145, verse 8, this is what it says. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. Oh, to who? To all. The Lord is good to everyone. His goodness is available to everyone. I like that. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the gracious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. So we are part of an unshakable kingdom. We're part of an eternal kingdom. Here's another verse. This is one of my key verses we're going to base this on. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. It says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary. Wow, listen to this, guys. This is the word of the Lord. To the contrary. If your enemy is hungry, don't feed him. This goes against our flesh. This goes against what we want to do. This goes against Hollywood movies, some of the movies I like to watch. I like some of the movies when the actor is just a farmer living his life. You know those movies? Just living his life, walking the ground. He's got his family, you know, working hard. And here comes a bad guy, assassinating his wife and kids. Man, you feel so pity. But this guy, there's a movie called The Wrath of Man. That's kind of one, it's terrible. I mean, it's kind of my vengeance movie. And this guy goes and shows the bad guys what it's, that's Hollywood. It's not kingdom. That's the way we want to do it. God is saying, vengeance is mine. When someone does you wrong. I was working a couple years ago when I first started. I was working for this guy. Met him through Kendra, actually. I thought he was good. You know, I'm honest. Do my best to be honest and not cheat people. So the guy ended up owning me like $10,000. So a year later, he still didn't pay. And he kept giving me stories after stories. And I'm like, I trust him. But at the end, I find out he was just lying. So we got a payment plan. He paid me like $3,000. And then I realized he wasn't going to pay. Man, I work hard for that money. So I contacted some friends. you know, I had receipts, I had a contract. I was going to call him, I was going to take him to court, right? I had receipts, I had everything, I was going to take him to court. In my time with the Lord, Jesus said, don't do it. You see, when I said we do not live by bread alone, but we live from every word, the Bible says, Jesus said it. We live from every word from the mouth of God, from Rhema. We live by the Holy Spirit. And if we live by the Spirit, we won't accomplish. Now, would it be a good thing to take him to court, you know, summon him? Yes, I think it would be right. It would be just. But at the moment, God told me, let him go. That was against me. That was against everything I wanted to do. But because I value at the moment what the Lord is telling me, some people might be like, man, you just let the guy took advantage of you. He's not learning his lessons. No, well, it says here, vengeance is God. So I can't be like, well, I got to teach him a lesson. I got to show him he can never do that to anybody else. I must do this. I must make him pay. When I read here, beloved, never avenge yourself. You know how many people I would kill already? Especially in the life of being a minister. Yeah. I don't have time to give you stories. I can tell you stories. You know, I've been in ministry for 20 years. And, you know, people talk about you. People say things about you. So I'll give you a quick story here. So I had this girl at my church, lady at my church, that this guy showed up. This guy left his family from another city. And I knew about the guy back past. I mean, the guy had 3 kids. And the recent kid wasn't even a year old. So here the guy showed up in my church, give his life to the Lord, praise the Lord. But then this young girl in the church didn't see anybody else she would like. It's this guy. So as a pastor, from a pastoral perspective, I try not to tell people who to marry or that's your life. That's, if you want to go that route, that's going to be your misery. But at least I believe it's my responsibility if I see you making a wrong move to be like, hey, you know, you don't know this person. And it's not like he's passed from 5 years. He just left his wife that he's been with for 23 years. And if I were you, I would give this time. My brothers and sisters, long story short, I end up being the bad guy in the movie. I end up being the bad guy. They end up getting married. Everything I projected was right. And then people started talking, saying crazy stuff I don't even want to repeat. I had opportunity to avenge myself. I didn't. 6, 7, 8 years later, the relationship didn't work, of course. You build your house on the sand, what's going to happen? It will not survive. So when it comes to understanding God's wrath, we must positioning ourselves to benefit God's blessings in our life, not only to understand, hey, don't mess with God just like God is your little toy or little friend. If it wasn't for Jesus, none of us here would have access to God. In the Old Testament, there are 3 different compartments in the temple. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. Only one dude who was chosen by God. By instruction, I mean, even the way he dressed to go before God once a year for his sin, to present sacrifices for his sin and the rest of the people's sin, he had to dress a certain ways. And then, you know, sometimes we think we can fool God. We forgot we can't fool God. So when he would be ready, you know, going through all the ceremonial preparation, but if somehow he misses something and he goes in the presence of God guilty, they had to tie a rope in his waist in case he spent too much time here or the presence of the Lord kill him, like Ananias and Sapphira. Nobody had the right to go in that Holy of Holies because the presence of God would kill you. So you know what they did? They pull his corpse out. Pull him out. We serve, my brothers and sisters, the same God. God is the same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. And I believe when we understand God's wrath, we'll understand his nature. Let me read this again from Romans chapter 12. My beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, revenge is mine. I will repay, as says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, this verse right there, we'll come back sometime later on that one, because there's so much here in this verse. By doing what they said here, giving your enemy food. That's why you should never rejoice when you're in the le bagay mauvais rivez from you. How do you say that? When your own enemies suffer. For some reason, I don't have the English word here. So we should never rejoice when your enemy suffers. But my tendency is, I want, yes, finally. Yes, oh, yes, finally. Somebody is finally had the courage to make them pay. Told you this already. My recent one was about my dad. When my dad was going through some things because of his relationship with his sisters. And he had one mean sister just making him go through the wingers. It was just like, when I heard about it, I said, yes! I almost said, thank God. But I didn't say thank God. I almost said it. Maybe I thought it. And then that's when the Holy Spirit rebuked me. He's like, man, come on, dude. You see, your heart needs me. We must be different than the world. If we really want to please God. I mean, I was like, man, Pastor Ricardo, you don't understand. He killed my wife. She killed my husband. What must I do if I have a chance? And if you go in the Old Testament, there's so many stories we can read in the Old Testament. David, Saul, what did David do for Saul to hate him so much? And then one day, David find Saul sleeping in a cave. And everybody with David, all the soldiers, they're like, like, yes, we got him. Master, this is the day you've been waiting for. Just kill him. David's like, his conscience. I must not touch the anointed of God. Even if the anointed of God is in error, I must not touch him. So then David, I guess he felt pressured, grabbed his sword, cut his garment. Saul's garment. And later on, he felt guilty for doing that. I believe there is a great message for you and I here. Let's read it again. Put it back on the screen. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. You see those two words, the wrath of God. For it is written, revenge is mine. I will pay, says the Lord. To the contrary, If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? You see, now, let me break it to you again. The Holy Spirit is not going to come and make you do good. You know, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. It's not Holy Spirit coming and control yourself. That's what makes the difference between Holy Spirit and Oguferai. Oguferai, it's a demonic spirit. It's a voodoo spirit that comes and possesses people. You know? Like the spirit of Jezebel. People are possessed with the evil spirit. And then you do crazy things. You know, the past Halloween season, I watch some things they post online about the worship of the dead, worship of, the Halloween, the demonic spirit. So some people got possessed with Oguferai, with the demonic, and they drink a full bottle of vodka. Huh? Yeah. So they're possessed with the evil spirit. They had like a big iron, pole in the middle of a campfire. Because when you possess with demons, when people are possessed with demons, they can hurt themselves without knowing they're hurting themselves. You remember the story in Mark, the guy dwelt in the middle of the tombs. He was cutting himself. There's no one in their right mind. You know, man, when I go in for them, when I go to the doctors and for them to draw blood, I'm like, you know, it's like I gotta breathe. All right. Breathe, I gotta breathe. Okay, and then I gotta breathe. So there's nobody in their right mind would grab a knife or a sharp thing to cut themselves. No. So if you're cutting yourself, they're possessed. Are you with me? So when we are hurt, abused, humiliated, or treated unjustly, we as human, we naturally want to offer the experience we felt. When someone hurt me, when they betrayed me, when they took advantage of my kids, or I find out later, whatever, I really want to get them to pay. That's a natural response. But if we call ourselves Christians, if you are truly a follower of Jesus. Now, let me repeat that again. Truly. Because there are people who go to church, but they're not following Christ. But if you are truly a follower of Jesus, these are the things you must do. Pray for your enemies. Man, who wants to receive these words? Will you? Believe me, I was preparing this week. I'm like, Lord, help me. Jesus, help me. I want this, but I want to live like that. That's why I say, Lord, help me. Because I'm not coming here and telling you, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Really? No, Lord, help us. Lord, help us, Lord. You know how hard it is when someone humiliates you, treated you unjustly. You know when they abuse you. You know how hard it is for you to be like, take on Romans chapter 12. Verse 19, if they're hungry, to give them food. You know how hard that is? But praise God, because then it's not you who lives anymore. See, right now, if you're struggling to surrender to this, that means Ricardo is still alive. And there's no one can encounter God if your physical flesh is still alive. Ricardo must die. Come on, help me out. Repeat your name. Ricardo must die. Let's try it again. Ricardo must die. If you really want to encounter the glory of God, you must die. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the things that's keeping a lot of us from encountering the glory of God. Why? Because we are still alive. We want revenge. We want to make them pay. But the Bible gives us a different story. Here we are in verse 19. It says the wrath of God. You can put that verse up again for me on the screen. Never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. That's what it says here. Revenge is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And I want you to focus. You notice, I'm intentionally repeating this. Because I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. Since God is going to take your case and see that justice is done to you, so you don't have to carry anger. I want you to think about this. Now, since God says, I'm going to avenge you, the Lord is giving me a way to live free. So instead of carrying it, I said, well, Lord, I trust you. I give it to you. And you know what? I know a couple people that bitterness killed. Actually, I know one lady, one person. Yeah, literally, I know one person. They were so bitter. One day, they just had a heart attack. Somebody did something, and they got so choked up, and their heart stopped. It's real. You know, bitterness gives you, it gives you back pain, knee pain, and it makes you constipated. And I'll stop right there. You don't want to get constipated. That's not fun. So please leave the revenge to God. What a great, you see, what another opportunity the Lord is giving you and I to live a free life. He's saying, just let me avenge you. Let me defend you. Matthew chapter 6, 15, it says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven will forgive you. Matthew 18, 35, it says, for my heavenly Father also will do, this is what my heavenly Father will do to you from his heart. It says, my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And I'm going to finish here and continue probably in the next couple of weeks because I realize I have so much to tell you, but we'll continue later. The reality, I want to finish with this, the reality of God's wrath. Paul says in verse 19 from Romans, leave it to God, the wrath of God, meaning God will punish. God will make them pay. I have, if you go on my screen on the slide, I have a definition for the wrath of God. The wrath of God is God settling anger towards sin, expressed in the repayment of suitable revenge on the guilty sinner. If you go to my screen, my slide, I put in there. And I want you to think about this when we put it on there. God's wrath is God settling his anger towards someone, a sinner who willingly doesn't want to change, doesn't want to repent. Let's take a simple example. You remember the 10 plagues in Exodus? The 10 plagues. The Bible says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Of course, the English translation says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But when you go deep into the original language, God cannot harden your heart. God doesn't harden anybody's heart. Now, if you choose to harden your heart, God's like, okay, well, have at it. Well, okay, you want to, Romans chapter 1. Well, people rejected God. They don't want anything to do with God. God's like, okay, oh, you really don't want me? You don't want to, you know, like men wants to sleep with men, women wants to sleep with women. And it's like, oh, you want to go against nature? Really? Well, okay, well, why? Because we are free will people. You know, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're having this awesome conversation in heaven. They said, let us create men looking like us, thinking like us, at our image. So God created you and I with free will. But be aware, be careful what you choose because your free will, and that's what's happening in the world right now. People are so free to choose, so free to do whatever they want to do. So therefore, you know what they do? They choose to reject it, the real thing, the real. Did you find my slide? You look, that's fine. The wrath of God, I want you to, because I want to stop right there. The wrath of God is God settling anger, you know, and then you go back to the 10 plagues. All those 10 plagues from Exodus chapter 7 to chapter 12. Read it this week. God, he didn't send those plagues to punish Pharaoh. He wanted him to change his heart. But what did Pharaoh say? No, I'm not changing my heart. So therefore his heart become hard. You see, when you choose to harden your heart towards God's move, you are sowing seed for your heart to get harder and harder. But believe me, when you turn to the Lord, when you want, you're like, you know what, Lord? I'm really stubborn. I feel like I can't trust, but Jesus, help me out. Oh, you find it good. Oh, that's something else. That's not it. Okay, no. Okay, don't worry about it. We'll continue next week. But let me read this again. The wrath of God is God settling his anger towards sin, expressed in the repayment of suitable revenge on the guilty sinner. So this is my counseling to you today. Do not resist when the Lord convicts you. When he brings something to your attention, submit. It's for your good. Amen? Amen. It is for your good. It is for your good. And the more we get into this, you will understand, you don't want to experience God's wrath. Even as you read this week, Exodus, I give you homework. Exodus 7, chapter 7 to chapter 12. You'll understand God's wrath. All those 10 plagues. We could have weeks of Bible studies to go deeper to realize, man, God doesn't mess around. So do not waste his grace. Because there's going to come a time. It's not like his grace is going to run out. But everyone will face his judgment. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would teach our hearts. And we would realize again that you're not a God for us to just take lightly. You keep your word. You're gracious and compassionate. But yet, Lord, you are so just in your judgment. So, Lord, this morning we ask, we turn to you and we ask that you would continue to give us your grace, that we would not take revenge in our own hands. We would not avenge ourselves, but we would really trust you. Because when we get to trust you, we get to experience freedom in the Holy Spirit.